this week's Quest for Gold, a shocker. The University of Oregon women's basketball team, the number one ranked women's college basketball team in the country, beat the U.S. women's basketball team 93-86. It's not a qualifier. It was rather a tune-up. The U.S. women's basketball team taking part in a pre-qualifying tournament right now in Argentina. They beat Brazil Thursday. They take on Argentina Saturday. It's been an up-and-down week for USA baseball. They're in Japan. They lost to Korea, beat Japan, lost to Australia, then beat China Taipei. Now, there's no way they can win the WBSC Premier 12, but there are two bids on the line, including one American bid in this tournament for the Olympics. But they're going to need some help. By the way, our friend Mark Payton of Orland Park, who spoke last week to us on episode 16 of Quest for Gold, hit a home run against Australia. The U.S. soccer men's team, U23, fell to Brazil 1-0 in a friendly, their last match of 2019. This is the team that would be eligible for the 2020 Olympics, and on that team, Chicago Fire phenom and local product Georgie Mihaljevic. Congrats to women's softball silver medalist Natasha Watley. She's been selected to the 2020 USA Softball Hall of Fame. We spoke to her earlier this year in episode 4 of Quest for Gold. Another congratulations to U.S. Olympic skier Bodie Miller. He and his wife welcomed twin boys into the world last week. Turns out the midwife did not arrive to their home on time. Miller, with the help of his mother, helped deliver the babies. Carpentersville native Brady Tinnell will be taking the ice in Poland at the Warsaw Cup. Bob and Mike Bryan, the most successful doubles tennis team ever, announcing this week they'll retire after the 2020 U.S. Open. The duo has won Olympic gold and bronze medals, and that retirement would come after the Tokyo Games. We told you a couple weeks ago about North Shore native Connor Dwyer, a gold medal swimmer that tested positive for a banned substance. He was given a 20-month suspension and immediately retired. We reached out to a representative of Connor to see if he'd like to join us on Quest for Gold. We have not received a response. This week, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency announced that track and field athlete Zach Gehm of Harmony, Pennsylvania, has accepted a 2-year suspension for an anti-doping rule violation, testing positive for an illegal substance during the USA Track and Field U20 Outdoor Championships back in June. And this week, the USADA sent out a notice warning athletes about the use of AICAR and other prohibited AMP activated protein kinase activators, which can make energy more available. Olympic athletes, of course, are constantly tested, from swimmers to runners to weightlifters. Last month at the Chicago Sports Summit, some of the leaders in sports medicine nationwide talked about doping in a panel discussion. WGN's David Miranda managed to grab Dr. Jim Andrews, a sports medicine doctor at Andrews Institute in Pensacola, Florida, to dig a little deeper on what he's been seeing.
Well, a lot of the things that we do nowadays in sports medicine can actually be thought of as enhancement of performance. So there's a fine line between enhancement of performance and what we call doping. And athletes will do anything they can to enhance their performance. The thing is, a lot of times they don't know what they're putting in their body, and then it comes out with drug testing, and then they're in trouble. And we know that happens almost every day. Of course, everybody that gets drug tested positive says, "Well, I didn't know it had what I was taking was doping." Well, you're supposed to know. So anyway, it's a problem. The main thing is you don't know what's in these different nutritional supplements. And everybody, to make the nutritional supplements better, they put a little something in it that's either a stimulant or whatever that's not legal. So a lot of the nutritional supplements, as you well know, will get people in trouble. So that's one of the things that they were talking about on the panel about the nutritionist. They have to check all those things to make sure that nutritional supplements that people put out there to enhance performance legally are really not legal.
Do you feel like the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency does a good job regulating?
You know, that's just one facet. There's nothing out there that's perfect, and it's a tough job. The problem is the people that are involved in doping and really into it stay one step ahead of the anti-doping center, so that whatever they're doing is the latest, and they've masked it. And so it takes a while for the doping committee to catch up with that particular new product or new type of doping that will show up on the test as positive. So it's a constant battle perfecting what you do and making sure you're staying ahead of the curve, but it's awful difficult.
You know, something that was really an eye-opener was that you mentioned on the panel that it starts in high school. Even the cheerleaders are the football players.
Well, I wouldn't say the cheerleaders. Okay. I just said it was unique that they were doing drug testing, and they even doing it, you can't leave out any group. If you're going to do it, you have to do it for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. You know, cheerleading, that's what they say about cheerleading. They say that if football was any harder, they'd call it cheerleading. So doping is, they test everybody. I think testing cheerleaders is a little bit much, though, having had four cheerleaders in my family.
Thank you, Dr. Andrews. Thank you, David Miranda. We'll continue to follow the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency's mission of ridding sport of performance-enhancing drugs and what constitutes a performance-enhancing drug in future episodes. I'm Ryan Burrow. Stay tuned to next week's episode of Quest for Gold. We'll talk to a triathlete from Geneva who overcame incredible odds to stand on the brink of a Tokyo bid. That's coming up on the next Quest for Gold, only right here on WGN Radio.